You're listening to Your Financial Compass with Scott Vallon. These shows are designed to provide information to both pre- and post-retirees so you can make well-informed decisions about your financial future. Our Financial Compass process goes beyond traditional holistic planning. We care as much about you and your lifestyle as we do about your plan. At the Bulman Wealth Group, we want to help you define what matters most and inspire you to go and do it. Your host is Bulman Wealth Group financial advisor, Scott Vallon, who for more than a decade has made a difference in his clients' lives by providing financial leadership.
Hello there, and welcome to the very first episode of the Your Financial Compass. My name is Scott Vallon, and we are very excited because this is the very first show we've ever done. This is something we've talked about for a long time, and finally we're getting it rolled out. And really, what we're going to be looking to do with these shows is tackle different subjects. You know, there's a lot of different things we can talk about in the financial realm. There's a lot of questions that come up from our clients and folks we're talking to, and we really want to spend each episode doing a deep dive into each one of them. That could be, why do we think taxes are going to go up? What is a Roth conversion? What does a financial plan mean? What is a mutual fund versus a stock versus a bond? There's a million things that we can talk about, and we just want to kind of pass along useful information to folks so that they can make better decisions. But instead of diving right into the meat of it all, we thought the first episode should be more about who we are. Who am I? Who is Bulman Wealth Group? Who is Chris Bulman, the namesake? And just talk a little bit about how we got here, what we do, and what we're like when we are not financial advisors. So who better to speak with than the man himself, the namesake? He's like a brother to me, one of my best friends, Chris James Bulman, who's sitting here across the desk from me. And Chris, we're going to start from the get-go with you. I obviously know your story, but not everyone else does. So I know this is a very broad question. Give me a quick synopsis of your backstory, how you got to this point.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Scott. It's good to be here. It's good to be starting this podcast. I'm excited for you to be carrying this on over the coming weeks, months, and years, and for all the listeners. But just to kind of break down episode zero here at the start, my name's Chris Bulman. I started in this business in the year 2001. The week was September 4th, 2001. I moved from Kansas City. I was offered a job here in California to take over part of a financial planning company. It was a stock brokerage company, let's say. I would use the word financial planning loosely there. But moved out September 4th, experienced 110 degree weather, went to San Francisco to catch a game and see what that was like, went straight to about 60 or 55 degree weather, still sweating from the drive, and now it's 55 degrees and I'm buying a blanket at the San Francisco Giants game. So that was a unique experience. Fast forward a few days, remember this is 2001, September 4th-ish. And then 9/11 happens. So I wake up to a phone call on 9/11. Hey, Chris, turn on your TV. Of course, I didn't have a TV yet because all of my furniture, including TVs, clothing, and everything else, was still being moved and ultimately didn't show up. So I went to Walmart in Folsom, California, and I tuned in to 50 TVs on shelves and watched 9/11 unfold at Walmart. And yeah, that was an experience. Ultimately, later in the day, I went over to a peer that I was working with, went to his house and watched 9/11 continue to unfold. I obviously bought a TV quickly and was set up and, continue to watch over the next several weeks how the world reacted to 9/11 and how the stock market reacted. And a lot was learned in those early days. So that was my intro to financial planning. There's only about a 5% or less success rate of people who get licensed in the stock industry, let's call it the financial industry, whether it's Series 65 or Series 7, it's only about 5% of advisors that even will make it through, and that percentage is probably below 1% if you started the week of 9/11. So, we've come a long way since then. But to fast forward, I started there in Folsom. I ultimately lasted about 2 years. I didn't like what I was doing. All I was doing was selling mutual funds. I didn't believe in it. And just didn't enjoy it. I didn't feel like I was really helping anyone. So kind of fast forward, I moved to San Francisco in 2003 and, you know, remember I was in Kansas City and then I moved to California. And now I'm in San Francisco in 2003 to about 2005 working in the financial district for a large bank. And I was a private banker and stockbroker there at this large bank in the financial district at their headquarters. So that was quite a change, and that was fun. That was unique learning experience. And I had met my now wife, actually I'd met her just after 9/11, so I'm kind of going back and forth, but met her. She was with a friend at a restaurant, and I was there alone just after 9/11. Everyone's singing Lee Greenwood on karaoke and God Bless America, and that's when I had met her. But fast forward a few years later, we got married in 2005, moved back from San Francisco to Folsom, California, and I started my own practice at that point, and yeah, been going strong ever since. So that's 2005 to 2022 now, growing, learning, educating ourselves, traveling, conferences, clients, and growing our business. Now we're a registered SEC financial planning firm, and just having a great time, you know, working with clients, teaching clients. Along the way, four boys came along. People always ask, you know, did you want to have a girl? And I said, yeah, we tried at least four times. So, but we have okay. We have four sons, and they're amazing. So it's sort of, if anyone out there has four sons,
you'll trade one.
Maybe no, trade. I would have early on, maybe, but no. But I was gonna say it's like four mini-me's. So they like everything I like. They love stocks.
Hold the thought, because we're gonna come back to family a little bit more.
Okay, sure.
So we're getting the boring stuff out of the way first. No offense to Chris.
Thank you.
Not that that was boring. So kind of the money stuff out of the way, how we got here, and later we're going to kind of dive more into who you are, what your family is, or what your family's like. So, you know, Chris said his story, 2001 and on. My financial story of how I got to this point is based off of another kind of financial collapse. If you remember back, the recession, a big economic downturn of 08, I was a television sportscaster. Making a very long story short, grew up in Flint, Michigan, was in sports television.
You're on Fox, CNN, which one?
No, yeah, WLBT, NBC in Jackson, Mississippi,
oh, okay.
Still alive and well. When 2008 hit, though, towards the end of that year, companies is owned by a larger corporation, they had to make cuts, and unfortunately, being, you know, a young sports guy, I got laid off, and it was, you know, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Anyhow, met a guy, I grew a beard, which I could never do on TV. It was at the gym, and a guy said, hey, how can you go on TV with a beard? And I said, well, here's a story. He ran a financial planning firm. It's kind of more insurance related. Anyhow, they hired me in 2009. My old TV station offered me a job back, and it was fun to tell them no thanks. And I moved into this industry doing more insurance-related things, life insurance, disability insurance. And then my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, she was in television as well. She's Julie. She's from Napa, California. Fast forward, we get married, and we decided to, you know, move out to California. And we joined a firm in San Jose, and that's how Chris and I met. So that got me from 09 to 2011. Chris and I met towards the end of 2011. And we started working together. I was running a little firm that, you know, Chris helped me open up, kind of a satellite firm for us in the East Bay. And fast forward till now, that's where we are. It's been fun that we're in Roseville, California, which is right outside Sacramento. But we do have clients all around the country, from the Bay up here in Michigan, where I'm from the South, where I lived for several years. So that's kind of my 2-minute story, or 3-minute, but now that we've got that out of the way, you know, Chris, you referenced earlier that one of your jobs, kind of peddling mutual funds, just one-stop shop, boom, sell these mutual funds. You didn't like it. It wasn't really the vision that you saw. So how did that experience kind of form the vision of what you've made Bowman Wealth Group into and what we do now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say, you know, just like any of our listeners out there, when you started your career, you continued to learn, and you're on a journey of kind of learning, improving, and looking back and probably laughing at some of the things you had to do. And
like what? I
was thinking in terms of some of the listeners, some of the things you've had to do to get to where you are today, maybe close to retirement or in retirement, and mm-hmm. you look back and you probably just laugh and can't believe you ever did those things. And you know, for, you know, some of the memories you and I laugh about and talk about, you know, going to visit people in their homes and, you know, having dogs sniff you in places that you don't want to be sniffed in front of people and you don't know how to react. And having, I remember I went to someone who, you know, it was a referral and they owned like 18 homes. And it turned out when I showed up, it was 18. I'm not even sure if it was legal. They were like little pens out in the field. And I sat in the lady's kitchen and cockroaches were crawling over my shoes and I had to pretend that they weren't. And just, you know, the things that you do early in your career, because you'll do anything to get a client early on.
Yeah.
And then in this business, as a career progresses, eventually you can't help those people. You can't help everyone or you ultimately help no one. So we've had to continue to hone and tighten who we can help until we've gotten to the focus where we focus on comprehensive financial planning with people that we can help. And our main clients are going to be those pre-retirees and retirees who need to have a comprehensive plan in place to achieve the next phase of their life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, that's funny. You tell the stories that Chris and I, it's funny now, maybe it wasn't funny then, of doing dinner seminars in faraway places, trying to revive names that you purchased in the past and calling them, and they're wondering and angry how we got their info. People scheduling, and we show up at their house, and they don't remember scheduling. A lot of things that got us to this point. But as you said, and I'm glad you said this, you know, our clients, it's a certain person that we work with. And I think that it's really in our wheelhouse. So, Chris, when you think about, you mentioned comprehensive financial planning, which covers a lot of areas. Your clients love you. You know, we can see it every day, most of them anyhow. what on that note, like, what do you like best? I know it sounds cliche question-wise, but what do you like best when you're working with someone? What is your favorite part of what we do?
First, you know, on whether clients love me or not, I think I think I do enjoy working with a lot of clients. I think a lot of the clients love the idea of me, and that idea being I have a wonderful wife and four, you know, handsome, beautiful sons, you know, all full of kindness and giving. And I think that's what, you know, I'm the sum of those five parts, my four sons and my wife. So I think that's what probably people relate and like about me the most is how I'm represented by my family. So at least that's how I would describe it. But I love working with clients. I love the teaching aspect of it, the helping. I love it when people come in. Everyone has moving parts. If you had a nephew the other day showed me he built his own computer, and I'm thinking, how in the world did you build a computer? And he said, oh, it's easy. You wouldn't believe it's a lot easier than you think. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. You built a computer. It had like five fans. It was see-through. It had, you know, vacuum tubes and all these things. But I would say that's the way a financial plan is. It's easy for me. It's what I do every day. I've done it 1,000 times. And financial planning is like taking all those fans and vacuum tubes and digital components and putting it all together. But we're doing it with income streams, investments, risk tolerance, taxes, you know, income planning,
legacy planning, trust,
everything. So just like some computer genius building a computer might be easy for them, or if we have listeners out there that whatever you do for a living, it's easy for you or it's regular. This is what we do and this is what we love. But what we love about doing with clients is then we can pass that feeling to them of completion of, you know, they don't have this big mess, this big juggling match of juggling eight different things in the air anymore, because now we have it all in a comprehensive game plan and they can see it on a piece of paper or a series of, or these days digitally. Right. And you know, that's the best thing about what we do.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I were to think of the question myself, obviously everything that Chris said, I echo, and kind of, you know, for me, the personal relationship aspect, generally, as Chris knows, I'm not the most social guy. I'm kind of shy, can be a little bit grumpy, but when I'm meeting with my clients, it's a totally different thing. I don't want to say it's like family, but in certain ways it is, because we take a lot of pride in being kind of the point person that they look to, be it obviously every aspect Chris touched on, but other things like, should I sell my home or should I move here? Or I'm having, you know, difficult. Sometimes we're a counselor as much as we are an advisor, and that's part of what we do, I feel like, because there's so many emotional aspects tied up into financial advising. And just, I can think of all the stories and the folks that we've worked with where the feeling that they get and we get when we can show them, hey, technically you could put in your notice tomorrow and retire. I can think of some very specific stories with that. And just knowing that we had a hand in that, or helping our clients with their bucket list. One of my good clients, she wanted to go to the Galapagos Islands, and she was able to make that happen this year. So it's those things, but then it's the tough things too. Being there when, unfortunately, someone passes away, and how us and our team helps navigate that. Because obviously there's enough things going on. There's a lot of emotions. Helping folks walk through that has been, it's a hard part, but it's part of what we do. So, you know, I'm glad you said those things, Chris. Hopefully I had shed a little bit of light on it. So now that we've kind of touched on how we got here, what we do in a nutshell, now I want to introduce people to Chris Bullman, the man. And I hate to refer to myself in the third person, but right, Scott Vallon is
here. I was going
to
say Scott Vallon, the boy.
Scott Vallon, the boy. So here's a question for you, and try to keep it at like 5 minutes. What's one thing you want people to know about you?
Oh, wow. The first thing, you know, outside of family, in business, would be transparency. I'm always going to be transparent. I'm going to give... matter of fact, I enjoy always giving all of the truth, the whole truth. You know, we hear these TV commercials, annuities are bad, only do this what we do. But then when you actually, fact check that, you know, you all can probably guess a few of the commercials I'm talking about, but the statements that they make on TV even, and on the radio, are blatantly false. And so what I always like to do is help people to understand there's no perfect investment. There's always good, bad, and ugly about every investment. And as long as you know those, then we can use the parameters to choose the proper investments going forward. But I will never be known as someone who sells someone into a direction, or sells a product, or sells an annuity, or sells a life insurance, or sells a stock. That's not what we do. We educate, we talk about the good and the bad, how and what fits into a plan, and then we make a decision how to move forward together based on all of that knowledge. That's the biggest thing that we do differently, I think, than most other people. You're going to know the good of what you're getting, but you're also going to hear, what can go wrong or the bad about it. And the other thing is just comprehensively to have a plan. You should never just be going out and buying an investment unless there's a reason behind it. How does that fit into the end goal? I always say plan with the end in mind. Break it down to the simplest components, and then plan with the end in mind. And those are the things we do here.
So that's, again, what we do. Tell me one hobby of yours that might surprise people.
Well, here's what will surprise people, because they always see my sons. I have a 14-year-old, as we record this. He's a one handicap, almost a scratch golfer, playing from the back tees, not like junior tees or something. So playing from men's back tees, he's a one handicap. And I have a 12-year-old who's about 60 pounds. My 14-year-old's only 90 pounds, by the way. He drives at about 260. My 12-year-old is about 60 pounds. We're late growers in our family, but I promise them they'll grow, because I eventually did. But so I have these fantastic, amazing, golfers that are literally world beaters. So people assume I'm good at golf. So I guess what would surprise people is I'm an 18 handicap at best. I feel like I could teach anyone golf, because I've been to 1,000 golf lessons. But as soon as I get the club in my hand, I'm still the same golfer I was probably 20 years ago. And the reason is, people always assume I play golf every week, because they see on maybe social media that I post golf courses every week. Well, I never actually have a club in my hand.
You're a much better caddy for your sons than you are for a golfer.
Yes, and I've gotten to be a really good caddy. I don't get angry or anything, because I know it's golf, right? So, but golf is, that's it. That's kind of the boy's life for the most part. But I personally play less than 6 rounds in a whole year usually. So
okay.
That's a surprise to people.
Yeah. All right. No, it is. Okay. So for me...
And I have a golfer's physique from the 80s.
And a face for radio.
Yeah.
So for me, as Chris said, putting a plan together in kind of in a work sense and personal sense, what I want people to know about me in a work sense is, for me, authenticity is a very big factor. It's what I look for in people, but it's also what I hope to present. I feel like you're always going to get an authentic version of me, both good and bad, in terms of shooting people straight. Hopefully people can see that I'm genuine. I take a lot of pride in that. So then what's one thing people maybe not know about me personal-wise? And I'll get to my family here in a few minutes. But in terms of just me, as Chris knows, I love music. I make music as a hobby. I've done it for years. I've released music under various names and
Elvis, you know, Presley.
Yeah, I'm an Elvis impersonator. that part was a joke, but I love music, love making it. Chris gifted me a wonderful keyboard for as a gift, which I appreciate. Still should arrive in December, but music's a big part of what I love to do, and it's fun. That's one of my hobbies is making music. So there. Okay, so now, kind of the last question about us personally, then we'll cap it out of what folks can expect through our shows. So, Chris, you've touched on this a little bit, but give me a breakdown of the average weekend for you and your family.
So Mondays are always one of my most exhausting days, and not because I'm back at work, but because I'm back at work after a weekend with four sons. So, you know, a typical weekend would involve anywhere from 2 to 4 golf tournaments, you know, depending on who's playing that weekend. So maybe Reed, Luke have 18 holes, either 1 or 2 days. You never know. And then often Colin may also have a 9-hole, my 7-year-old, and sometimes Liam. Also, Liam will generally have a soccer tournament. He's on a competitive travel soccer team. So he's my, 9 years old. He'll be 10 in November. And so he plays competitive soccer. So he's got 3 nights a week of competitive soccer. The other boys are going to be at soccer, basketball, or golf 4 nights a week plus weekends. So there's my weekend. It's wake up early and go all day and get home, you know, Saturday night sometimes, Sunday, same thing on Sunday, rinse, repeat. Somebody was just asking me the other day if I owned a boat or anything, and I just never would. We have so many things going on all the time. You know, besides the fact it's a depreciating asset, which is a whole nother show, it's just one of those things. We can't have a vacation home. We can't have a boat because we're just on the go nonstop. It's a phase of life. And we've been talking, this will probably be a show as well. There's so many phases of life we go through, and I'm in that phase of life of kids. So
yeah. And you've been there for a while with your sons. So for me, and I haven't touched much about my family, but here's kind of what my average weekend looks like. So like I said, my wife's name is Julie. We've been, as of just the other day, been married 12 years as we record this, and I have 2 kids. My daughter's 8, and her name's Sienna. My son, Jordan, is 5. In the average weekend, we're slowly getting to what you were talking about. Not as busy. We have 2 less children, but my son is starting to get involved in sports. I'm a diehard sports fan, and it's been fun for me to see him, over the last 6 months or so, dive fully into sports. He loves to watch it with me. He obsesses over scores in both soccer, both NBA, NFL, and he can sit and watch sports with me. We follow he can tell you the results in the English Premier League, the German League. It's kind of crazy, and he remembers all the names. And he's starting basketball, actually tonight, as we record this, for him playing. He played T-ball earlier this year. But it's been fun seeing him morph into a sports nut.
And I think he'll be a happier sports nut because he won't grow up as a Detroit Lions fan.
So I grew up a Lions fan. I divorced them officially in 2019, and I'm no longer a Lions fan. I've kind of morphed into a Chiefs fan, thanks to Chris. So that's my son. My daughter, Sienna, is more of an artistic type. She's playing guitar lessons. She just started choir. And I have a feeling that concerts and those kind of things are going to come up. She's won some awards for art. And it's been fun to see her kind of take that angle. She's more the creative side. And my wife's right there. My wife is very creative. She was in the news industry. She's working on a big podcast about motherhood. She works in marketing for several companies. So our weekend, she works a lot. We travel a lot for the different events. If it were up to me, I'm a homebody. I would rather sit at home until now that my kids are involved in the things. So
What is the motherhood podcast?
So it's called Making a Mother. It's in the works. I'm actually helping with it. It's fun. It's through a group called Coffee and Crumbs. That won't see light of day probably for another year or so, but she's really put a lot of work into it. I'm excited for her to be a part of that. So that's, you know, we're almost to 25 minutes. I think folks have heard enough. So I guess the last thing I'll say, and Chris has kind of touched on this, really what folks can expect from the show is just learning. My dad was a teacher, my sister's a teacher, my brother-in-law's a teacher, one of my best friends is a teacher. Teaching's a big, Chris is good at it, he's taught me a lot. We've teach our clients a lot, and this is our way to kind of continue to do that by tackling different topics, deep dives into different things that people have questions about. And you can listen to it when it's convenient. You know, we can't always sit down and meet up And if we're not meeting, but you have a question, we can say, hey, here's this podcast we recorded. So that is our goal, that you can take something. Hopefully it's enjoyable. You just have to deal with listening to my voice most of the time, but some shows will have guests. And it's an idea Chris has had for a long time. And finally, we did rock, paper, scissors, and I lost, so I have to do it. but all jokes aside, it's going to be great, you guys and gals, and we're excited to bring it to you. So thank you for Chris for being here. Thank you for Chris for changing my life, getting me to this point as an advisor and as a friend. And now that we're done, we have a very long disclosure that will be read. So thank you, folks. We'll have the next episode out soon, and hope you're excited to hear it.
This show's content is for information purposes only. It is not intended to provide any tax or legal advice or provide the basis for any financial decisions, nor is it intended to be a projection of current or future performance or an indication of future results. Purchases are subject to suitability. This requires a review of an investor's objective, risk tolerance, and time horizons. Investing always involves risk and possible loss of capital. Opinions expressed are solely those of Bullman Wealth Group and our editorial staff. The information contained in this material has been derived from sources believed to be reliable, but it is not guaranteed accuracy and completeness and does not purport to be a complete analysis of the materials discussed. Any statements of opinions expressed should in no way be construed or interpreted as a solicitation to sell or offer to sell advisory services to any residents of any state other than the states where otherwise legally permitted. Advisory services are offered through Chris Bullman, Inc., DBA, Bullman Wealth Group, and Brookstone Wealth Advisors, registered investment advisors. Insurance products are offered and sold through Chris Bullman, Inc., DBA, BWG Insurance Agency.